Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We're back with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but stop on by, catch up. You never know what might pop up, so head on over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three of those E's.
All right, Dan, so we have two games left in the NFL season, week one. We have the Steelers and the Giants and the Titans and the Broncos. But what I found humorous today, and that's just kind of how things go, I'm trying to figure out how many media people got hurt jumping off the Tampa, as they've been calling it. Normal people call it Tampa Bay, and the Tom Brady bandwagon. So yeah, I don't know how many people you think got injured doing that today.
All of them, every single one of them.
Yeah, because there was a lot of bailing, and he had. It's week one. He's on a new team. He's got some new, teammates, obviously. So, you got to figure with no preseason, there were going to be growing pains. I didn't pick them to win the game. I know everybody else was super excited, and, Brady was going to throw for 700 yards, and Gronk was going to catch 30 passes for 400 yards and score, 15 TDs. I was kind of baffled by that from the beginning. I didn't quite understand where they thought a 42 or 43 year old quarterback was going to be able to perform like that. And he wasn't terrible. Obviously, the pick six was a big deal. But Dan, these are people who get paid to do this for a living. Is it just the fact that they love him so much and they wish they were Giselle and they were married to him, or what's the deal here? Because he wasn't great last year, so I don't know why they thought it was going to change.
It's Tom Brady. They just expected him to just show up and, like you said, throw 700 yards and win a Super Bowl before the season even started.
it was just weird. And then, listening to them today, now a lot of them are on the complete other side, and it's like, it's week one, guys. There's no reason to be running away from them. Do I think Tampa's going to win a Super Bowl? No, but I think they're going to get into the playoffs. They'll probably be a wild card team. That'll be that. Maybe they'll get lucky and win a game, but they're not winning the Super Bowl. So, it's just what it is, and it's like, okay, so. But, yeah, I was shocked by the blatant oh my God, we got to get off this bandwagon thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can see why they were calling it Tampa, because the Tom Brady bandwagon, but, I mean, ooh, so clever. You know, other than that, I don't know, it's, were they more surprised by his lack of Super Bowl caliber performance yesterday, or by the fact that Belichick was calling for, Hoodie Carolina boy to run it in, which he never did with Brady. Why am I Cam Newton?
Well,
Cam
yeah,
Newton.
Let's face it. There's absolutely no way Brady could have ran the football like Cam Newton did yesterday.
No, and I know that. And I mean, at the end of the day, when you look at the situation, it's only one game. But doesn't it just come down to the Belichick factor? I mean, he knew what he had in Tom Brady, and he obviously saw that that was over last year. And you know, I think he kind of knew it was done. I think they all knew it was over with at some point. And I mean, for whatever Belichick did or I'm sorry, but this man had to do a lot of work in the offseason once they signed Cam Newton to, or, you know, traded whatever the deal was. I don't remember. But he obviously knew something was – he had to do something. And, I mean, and look at – you know, he doesn't call quarterback run plays for Tom Brady, which isn't, you know, his strength. He does for Cam Newton. Now, is this guy – is Belichick just a matter of just knowing the strengths? Is he – I guess what I'm saying is he picking out the obvious, or does he, you know, he's been in the league long enough, obviously. He's watched his entire career, I'm sure, portion of it, Cam Newton. Do you think he has a better insight on Cam Newton, or do you think he's just picking the obvious and everyone's not used to him doing what he does, for Brady, and that's why he was able to sneak it by? I guess my point, you know, I'm trying to put some sense into it and give you something to work on. I mean, it's only week one, so it's like no matter what I say, it really doesn't mean anything because this could all change in 5 weeks. You know, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, what it really came down to is it was a really good coach in Bill Belichick tailoring his offensive system to his players, where in Tampa Bay, it was Bruce Arians, who everybody, you know, thinks could be a good coach or, you know, believes is a good coach, plugging Tom Brady into the system that they already have. And I don't know if, you know, because they, you know, Arians likes to throw the ball downfield. And at this point in time in Brady's career, that's not really his strength. So, you know, and, you know, to be fair, you know, New Orleans has a good defense. You know, it's not like they were playing, you know, a Detroit or, you know, a Minnesota who gave up 40 points, which was a complete surprise, or, you know, something like that. So, you know, when they go against some, you know, other teams and some other defenses, the numbers will look better. But to think that, you know, Brady was going to step in and all of a sudden become this, you know, Brett Favre-style gunslinger and I'm going down the field with everything. No, you know, that's not the case. And, you know, that was one of the reasons – you know, while everybody was talking about, oh, you know, look at these great weapons he's got. You know, he's got Mike Evans. He's got Chris Godwin. You know, Gronkowski's back. He's got O.J. Howard. You know, Mike Evans is the guy who gets the short end of the stick here because he's that downfield receiver. He was a high fantasy pick because everybody was just all into him. He had one catch yesterday for 2 yards. You know, and the guy who's really going to prosper playing with Brady, and I'm willing to bet if he hasn't been picked up in every league so far, he may have been a late draft pick in bigger leagues, is Scotty Miller. Because Scotty Miller is Tampa Bay's version of Julian Edelman. You know, he's the guy willing to go underneath. He's going to catch those short little dump-off passes. He's going to be the, you know, now he's not going to get a lot of touchdowns, but he's going to get a lot of receptions. So, you know, my guess is, you know, that everybody has already ran out, and I'm willing to bet if you go into your fantasy league, he's gone. So I haven't checked ours yet, but I'm willing to bet if I, you know, if I go in here, he's off the board. So even though I don't think waivers officially start till tomorrow. But, you know, like, you know, Brady's numbers weren't bad. He was 23 of 36. You know, 239 yards, which is very Brady-like. You know, he had the two touchdowns, but the two interceptions hurt him. You know, and especially the one being returned for a touchdown, that, you know, that was really bad. He was sacked three times, which you kind of expect because Tampa Bay doesn't have a great offensive line. And like we talked about before, Brady isn't running away from anybody. But, you know, I mean, he didn't stink. He actually played better than Drew Brees, which is frightening for Mr. Fantasy and I because he's our Money League quarterback. So, you know, we may have to address that situation. But, yeah, you know, kind of as a whole, you know, it wasn't a terrible game. It was just the pick six that really hurt them. And, you know, again, I mean, Brady's not a downfield striker. And I don't know why or how people thought that was going to happen, but, we'll see as, you know, as it moves along here. And I'm not sure who they play next week. Let me see if I can get their. Yeah, you know, they play Carolina next week. You know, Carolina gave up 34 points to the Raiders. So they, you know, and they're at home. That'll help, even though I think they're going to have fans, but a limited number. You know, so it'll look, you know, probably a little better next week. And, you know, the schedule, you know, it lightens up. You know, they're going to Denver. They're hosting San Diego. They're coming here to Chicago. So, really, their next four games are very winnable. And, you know, if they get out of the gate 4-1, everybody's going to change their mind and Brady's going to be, you know, a great quarterback again. So, it, you know, it just kind of depends how you look at it.
Tampa's coming up here.
Yeah. Maybe you can get tickets. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. She opted out. She opted out of 2020.
but yeah, you know, and then like, you know, every week, of course, you've got to have your injuries that go along with it. So Dan, you didn't happen to end up with Marlon Mack of the Indianapolis Colts as one of your running backs, did you?
No, not this year.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing because he's out for the season. He tore his Achilles yesterday. And your guy, Le'Veon Bell, who I actually do have in a league, I don't think it's one of our leagues. I got roped in to do it one of the leagues that one of our guys that we play with set up. He's got a hamstring injury, and it looks like he's going to be out multiple weeks. So, you know, no surprise there. And then David Njoku, the Browns tight end, who had a solid day as far as tight ends go. I think he had three catches for 50 yards and the Browns only TD, and that's a whole other story we can probably get to for a little bit here. He's on IR and is expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks. And then in our league, humorously, Dan, the first defensive guy I grabbed, Leighton Vander Esch, got hurt on like the second defensive play for the Cowboys and missed the rest of the game. So I'll be cutting him tomorrow and looking for a new player. He has a collarbone injury and is probably going to miss. You know, they haven't really given a timetable, but it's going to be multiple weeks. So You know, just the fun part of, you know, the fantasy football stuff is hoping your guys don't go down early in the year for long periods of time. So it looks like I got through week one, so we'll see how it goes, with the exception of the linebacker. But luckily I can find another one of those in our league because we only need one. So that's okay. If it's a skill position, you're in trouble. But, yeah, how are you doing? Have you looked to see? Are you competitive? Are you getting your brain sticked in? Or how are you doing in our league?
I mean, I'm probably having the best first week that I've ever had. I'm beating – let's take a really quick look. So our auction league, I am just completely annihilating, you know, my opponent. The Snake League, I am set to win, barring, you know, is it Shannon? No, Sterling Shepard. You know, barring Sterling Shepard or, you know, if he scores like 30 points, then I'm pretty much out of it. I would say my biggest surprise from yesterday, though, for, you know, one of my fantasy teams would be the use of tight ends in Philly. I didn't realize it was going to be such a I don't know. I didn't realize the tight end was going to be a hot spot in Philly because I went with Ertz over Goddard. And, you know, Ertz only gave us 10 points for Goddard. It was able to knock 22 points. And, you know, my flex player, don't ask why I went with this, but I went with Jared Cook. Which, you know, I had Goddard. Oh. I had Mattinson from what do you call it, Minnesota. You know, he's backing up Dalvin Cook, who I have on my team. So that's part of the reason I didn't pick him. But, you know, the guys on my bench picked up a lot. I have Traquan Smith. I don't know if he's going to be a good option this year. You know, the one downer was I was – doing some running around. So for some reason I left in, I love this guy's name, Kenny Galladay. Over Amendola. And, you know, had I put Amendola in, that would have just secured my win. Cause I'd be at, what many points did he get? 11. Well, I'd be at, you know, close to 150 points where my opponent is sitting at 119 right now. So I would have, you know, just totally taken over had I put Amendola in. So, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised, except for the fact that I went with Vegas' defense and they scored me a whopping 48 points. So, yeah, there's that. And then, you know, I had Raven Green, who was out. I just, you know, sometimes with those last two, like the cornerback, that last couple – for the defense. I focus so much on the offense that sometimes I just overlook those guys. And, you know, it is what it is. What are you going to do, right? So, but the auction team, which I'm, you know, hugely surprised by. Well, let me go back real quick. The Snake League, I landed Garoppolo. I went really late with quarterbacks in this league. So hopefully keep plays well, because if I have to go with Tyrod Taylor in I don't know what week the Niners have their bye, but that doesn't look too great of a week for me if he keeps up at his pace right now. But like I was saying, back to the auction league, I went with Matt Ryan as my quarterback. And,
well, that's why you won.
Yeah, well, you know, and the surprising thing is, and I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm always going to be torn about this one. I'm never going to ask you to do it, but the flex player. You know, sometimes I wish we could add that quarterback, wide receiver, running back, tight end, quarterback. But then again, you know, when you think about it, when I would have put this lineup together, I don't know what the odds were that I would have really thought, like, oh, hey, let me go with Gardner Minshew from Jacksonville to be my flex player who scored 22 points. you know, I most likely would not have even put him in to begin with. So it's neither here nor there. So my bench didn't do too well. He did the best. But, you know, Matt Ryan from Atlanta, I just felt like he still had some good stuff. And I think he was pretty undervalued when I drafted him. I wish they would kind of keep the money spent on these guys in the app or whatever, kind of, you know, give you an idea. But the one guy I was surprised I did land, because we have a team that with his name in it, was Adam Thielen, who scored 31 points.
Oh,
who,
no.
You know, they still ended up losing to Green Bay, so kind of sucks for you guys. Your guy, who I think I may have stolen from you, or either you dropped him on me, with Tyler Lockett. You know, he gets 15 points, so that was huge for me. And then I went with San Francisco's running back, Raheem Mostert. So, as you could tell, Big Jack, I mean, a lot of these guys, well, this guy in particular, I don't even know who he is. But, you know, it would have been a great combination to have played the running back. He did get 5 targets, so I guess that might have helped. But, you know, with him, that it was a huge win for me. I have Kareem Hunt, who I wasn't sure about, but I just took on a whim. And then again, I went with Zach Ertz, but I should have went with Goddard and drafted him, because, you know, Kyle Rudolph didn't do anything. I didn't start him. And I must have been really off, Big Jack, because I drafted 3 tight ends for this league. It must have been one of those things. And, you know, and that's one of the problems, not problems, but I'll say one of the issues I have when it comes to the auction league. Sometimes when guys are bidding and I think I need a position, I just start to bid and I take myself out. You know, I take a guy that I shouldn't have. So I'm not telling you to get rid of the auction. You know, that's my mistake and that's something I have to work at. But other than that, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. You know, I have another shitty defense with Indianapolis, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, both of my defenses stunk in the one league this week. So hopefully that turns around. And, you know, a lot of it is, you know, like I have Houston who was playing Kansas City. So I didn't start them. There was just no way. And my other defense was the Raiders. And I actually thought they were going to do okay because, you know, I didn't expect, what is Carolina to score that much. And, yeah, they went off. I was like, oh, well, that's, you know. So, but yeah, I should win the auction league. And then depending on, I have like 5 guys going in these last 2 games. And I think the guy I'm playing has 3. So if everything goes to what's projected or close to projected, I'll win that game as well. But that's going to be a much tighter race there. So I'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But yeah,
obviously, you know, sticking with the NFL, and I know you watched a hell of a lot more than me. So yesterday I made it home from the grocery store right as kickoff was happening. You know, I was in the car at kickoff and it's happening. So I got home, you know, throw all the crap in the fridge, do what I had to do. You know, we got some frozen pizzas. Apparently everyone hit the grocery store before I got there, so all the wings were gone. Not to rub it in your face, Big Jack. I know you're working.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we got home and threw that in, you know, finished up whatever I had to do. You know, really sat down through the second quarter, and then, you know, really then I went down to my basement, which I've got set up pretty nice now, to watch the second half. I brought my daughter down so my wife could take a nap. We're playing Play-Doh, and, man, I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm like, man, this game is getting pretty brutal. We're coming up towards the end of the third quarter. I'm like, there's no hope. There's no hope, Big Jack. I've seen enough of this team. So I just let her put on what she wanted to watch. I don't remember what we were watching. And I fell asleep. You know, I was up late Saturday night, woke up early Sunday morning. You know, I figured, can you find a better time to take a nap? Fourth quarter, Bears are getting their ass kicked. So I closed my eyes and I think nothing of it. And then somewhere along the line, I think I don't think I saw your tweets till this morning either. Yesterday was one of those days where I was just out of it. So, you know, I wasn't social media on anything. I was just like half asleep for the rest of the evening. So then when I saw the update that the Bears won, I was like, well, who's messing with me? You know, kind of go back and double check. And I'm like, holy crap, they won? I guess I shouldn't have thrown the towel in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, what was your takeaway from it? You sent me a tweet that said something like typical Mitch or something like that. And so I wasn't sure if you did something before or after and you were commenting.
I don't remember what I was doing when I sent you that tweet. It was just one of those, God only knows what he had done. But yeah, you know, I mean, basically the way you look at it with the Bears is they got lucky. You know, they wouldn't have beaten any other team. You know, bottom line, they wouldn't have beaten any other team on their schedule. It just happened to work out that this was the Lions that they were playing, and that's what the Lions do. So.
Suck. Well, you know, and that was one of the things that that I was kind of taking into consideration and why I just kind of gave up on it. Because I'm like, oh, finally, you know, the old Patriots guy is finally getting the turnaround. What's his name again? Patricia? I forgot his name.
Patricia.
What is it?
Matt Patricia.
But, you know, I just kind of thought he was getting the hang of his role finally and going to get these guys all in ship shape. And, you know, he finally has them in shape. And, you know, Kerryon Johnson and family are going to take over. I don't know. So I was like, oh, this game's in the bag. You know, he's got his defense. He's going to just take the Bears on. And, you know, everything everyone's been saying about Mitchell is just going to come true. You know, so I just threw in the towel and, boy, was I surprised when they came back. So, for you, what was the big takeaway from that Bears victory yesterday? Do you think it can happen? Can they repeat?
Oh, boy. I, you know, to me, there weren't a lot of positives. You know, I know they won, but let's face it, they got lucky. You know, if that Detroit running back DeAndre Swift catches the football, the Bears lose. So, you know, it's just how it goes. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So, you know, you take it for what it's worth and. You know, you put it in the win column and you run away. So, you know, that's just how you got to look at it. So, you know, and you hope that. You know, you hope that they work out whatever it is they're trying to do. Or I still don't get how a coach who's supposed to be an offensive genius can't seem to put an offense together.
That's the thing. And again, you know, I think one of the biggest reasons you and I put this podcast together is we wanted to know what it was like in the other markets outside of Chicago. You know, in Chicago, for whatever reason, it's the quarterback. Well, and I guess, you know, does it go back to Ditka? You know, you can't, not the coach. You know, but you go back to Ditka. I don't remember a single coach, manager, whatever you want to call it, in between Ditka to Lovey. Okay, Lovey had a lot of respect from his players and this and that. So that one I get. You know, Jay Cutler, everyone dogged Jay Cutler, but, you know, it was interesting that only you and I were the ones who talked about the fact that, fortunately, Jay Cutler had a new offensive coordinator every other year, and every one of these idiots just thought, like, oh, hey, it's Jay Cutler. He's got this magnificent arm. Who cares? Who cares what we have in the backfield? Just throw the ball 40 yards every time. And then when it's third and 10, let's do a run. You know, it was like watching John Shoup offense all over again. It's like, you know, are the Chicago Bears in their offense coordination, is it just a, you know, a rat zapping himself 100 times a day? You know, like, oh, if this doesn't work, well, let's keep doing it. You know, it almost reminded me of watching my nephew as a little peewee football, and every coach wants to do shotgun plays. When the center doesn't know how to center the ball right, and the quarterback never catches the ball. But, you know, it was like every week, I'm like, why do I come watch this crap? No knock on my nephew, but these coaches are just, you know, they only care about their kid to begin with. So as I get off on a tangent, that's the thing I just don't understand about this town. Everyone wants to dog Mr. Trubisky now and how bad he is and this and that, blah, blah, blah. But like you just said, we supposedly have a offensive guru coach who hasn't really done anything. They had a good run that first year. But, you know, the one thing you and I have talked about is the fact that he was down in KC and he didn't get to call his own plays. So we're putting all that trust into this guy and he can't call the plays. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong in this, and I don't know the NFL contracting. So when it comes to a manager, coach, their contracts are guaranteed, right? They're signed for 5 years.
Yeah.
They're getting paid for 5 years. You know,
yeah,
as opposed to
coaching.
Mike Glennon. Yeah, okay. So you confirm that for me. Unlike Mike Glennon, who was signed for 4 or 5 years, but was only guaranteed $14 million over one season and then, you know, a handful of games for the second season. I mean, I forgot what the numbers were. I know we talked about it. I mean, if the Bears just went away from him that first season, they would have chalked up like a $2 million loss or something. I can't remember. So is that the problem? Is that why the media in Chicago steers the fans into just trashing the quarterback because they know the coach isn't going anywhere and because Nick Foles?
Yeah. You know, it's always tough. I mean, obviously the coach is to blame no matter what happens. You know, when it's all said and done. I mean, you know, the first person who's going to get it is the quarterback. You know, he'll be the guy. And, you know, like, you know, I've said here, you know, a ton of time, you know, the quarterback gets too much blame when they're too much credit when they win and not enough blame, or, yeah, too much blame when they lose and too much credit when they win. So, you know, that's just kind of how, you know, how things go in the NFL. So you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt and just be like, okay, you know, here we go. But, you know, it's really the coaches. And, you know, like yesterday, Matt Patricia took full brunt, or however you want to look at it, for the loss. So, you know, that, because, you know, they went for that long field goal, and everybody was pointing to that as the reason they lost, even though, you know, Matt Prater has made a ton of 50-yard-plus field goals in his career. So, you know, he was looking to put the game out of reach. You know, and there's no guarantee that if they punt in that situation that the same thing doesn't happen and the Bears still go on to win. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's only so much blame you can hand out, but, you know, again, it's a Bears win, but you got to take it with a grain of salt, because while it was a win, it almost really wasn't a win. So. So, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, you know, here we go, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, you know, and again, it's 1 week, so you know, we can't really, you know, you can't really put too much into it. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, obviously we'll know a little more next week. And, you know, it's a lot. I mean, the problem I had that, well, you were asleep, so you probably didn't notice it as much, is this was very preseason-ish. And, unfortunately, I think we're going to get that for probably 3 or 4 more weeks. So it's not, you know, you're really going to have to love the NFL to stay with it and watch it. You know, and I know the Thursday night ratings were in the tank. They were down 13%. I don't know how things went yesterday. I haven't seen anything, so I'm under the impression that they went okay. But, yeah, it's I got a feeling that it's going to be a little rough watching some of these games, probably the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. So we'll just have to, we'll have to see how it goes. And if we, if we can stay with it, I know Dan will get bored and stop, but maybe the rest of us can watch it and keep going. So we'll see. Now, did you watch any of the Tampa Bay New Orleans game?
No, sorry, I stubbed my toe. Like, needed to know that, but second worst pain in the world, right? No, I tried tuning in, but I think I just totally slipped on it and fell asleep. You know, I missed the fourth quarter of the Bears and then just couldn't get back into it. I got to check my channel, though. Was it on CBS? Because I don't have that currently.
No, it was the Fox game with my buddy Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
Hold on. No, how did that go? I mean, what did you think of the game?
Well, you know, obviously it didn't live up anywhere close to the hype. So, you know, people have been talking about this game since Brady signed with the Buccaneers, you know, and it was just kind of like, oh, you know, here we go. This is, you know, right off the bat, they're going to get the Saints, and, you know, it's in New Orleans where there won't be fans, so they're not going to have that home field advantage. And, it was a bad game, a difficult game to watch. And I actually, the CBS game, which obviously you couldn't watch, was the Chargers and the Bengals. And I kept flipping back over to that because it was actually a better game to contest it. So I probably spent more time watching that game than I did watching the Saints and the Bucks, because it just wasn't a good game. You know, and you know my feelings about Joe Buck, so.
Yeah. You know, it's just hard to hear you say that because I keep hearing Tom Brady's name and then you say the Bucs, and I'm like, dude, you got the wrong team.
Yeah. I heard somebody talking about this morning and they said Tom Brady and the Patriots, and then had to correct themselves. So,
yeah.
But, yeah. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I tried, but it was one of those days yesterday. I think it's a long week of being off and then my staying up late every night. So, I'm old.
Like
I can't do it.
You didn't miss much. You can make it up tonight by watching both games on the Mickey Mouse Network. You'll be all set.
Yeah, I think I'll just keep up with my fantasy teams and then start watching the NFL in like week 5 or something.
Yeah, you know, because obviously I can't watch the second game with a 9-10 start. I better be asleep by the time it starts. Or, you know, after the day I had last night, I struggled to sleep. This morning, it's just a nightmare with everything going on. So, you know, hopefully I'm asleep by the time that game starts. But it's, you know, it's a 6-10 start for the Steelers and the Giants, so I'll watch some of that game. But I wanted to jump on to baseball here, Dan. And before the podcast, I was actually a little panicked because I realized that some of the games were either A, starting or getting ready to start, and I hadn't set my lineup. So I came in here really quick, got on the computer, got it all signed in, and, well, our season is in the playoffs for both leagues, and guess who's not in them? Yeah, you're this guy.
Or me.
Oh, you didn't make it either? So.
Oh, I wasn't even close. I mean, even with the fact even if they kept it to 18, or the old format, whatever that was, I felt like it was bigger. Was it always just 4?
No, it used to be bigger.
Yeah, so I mean, even with the expanded playoffs that we normally have, I wouldn't have made it either way. This is probably hands down the worst baseball season for fantasy-wise I think I've had since my first year. And the season was just a complete joke.
Yeah, I think I finished 17th or 18th in the league, so I guess that means I can't play next year, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think that's why we discussed, like, maybe going in and sending out an email and just saying, hey, if you're not interested in playing next year, please let us know now. Otherwise, you know, because I think it's just fair to bring everyone back unless the 19 and 20 teams were complete, you know, no-shows.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'll have to go in and look. And, you know, the sad part is I finished that poorly and I changed my lineup every day.
Yeah, same with me.
So that's just frightening. Oh, I finished 15th and 16th, so I must have had a good week. I must have had a good week to close while I moved up in the standings. But even so, I would still end up being cut in both leagues because I normally get rid of the final 5. Not a good year for me at all, or you, as we both stunk.
Worst season ever.
Yeah, this is easily one of the worst years I have had in, God, I don't know how long. I don't remember ever being this bad at baseball. So I'm going to have to play with a vengeance next year and win both leagues.
I think even as we speak, I think I still have on both sides, both teams, 5 guys on the IL. 6 guys.
Yeah, I have one team that is full. All 5, and then my other team is 4 or 5 because I got a guy back. So, but yeah, it was a. It was a rough year, you know, juggling. But, you know, I thought I had pretty decent teams until guys started dropping like flies.
Yeah, I mean, Well, number one, I picked too many Cubs. They were great for, the first 2 or 3 weeks. And then after that, all the hitters were worth nothing. Fantasy-wise, you know, the amount of guys going off on DL, and then not only that, the pitching aspect of it killed me this year. You know, I followed you, and then not considering starting pitching is evident. And, you know, that wasn't a bad concept. The only problem with that was, since I, you know, and I'm not going to say it's just me and you, but since, like, we kind of took that route, I feel like there were these group of guys who just drafted every single pitcher then.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, even when I was having a good week, you know, 4 wins, 50 innings or something, you know, when I only had, like, 5 pitchers. The guy I'm going up against, you know, had 90 innings. And,
yeah.
You know, so it was just the whole league, I think, just everything was lopsided. No one knew where to go, who to take. I don't know. I think one of my mistakes was not taking Trout when I should have taken him instead of whoever else I took.
Yeah, you know, the you know, obviously – not having the starters didn't cost me in, like, the, you know, making the innings every week. But, yeah, I got pummeled, you know, in innings. And then what I guess I didn't really think about is that led me to losing strikeouts, because obviously the starters are going to get more strikeouts than the relievers. So it really ended up being an entire situation that I kind of overlooked with our, you know, the way our categories are set up. So yeah, that cost me, you know, I'm not going to lie, that was a big mistake on my part. And I guess that's what, is that what I get for believing Dave Roberts? So.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I mean, you know, it's not just that. I mean, you and I are pretty up with the game, and, you know, unlike some of the other old timers who, oh, I'm not going to do that. It's always going to be the DL for me. It's always, you know, my way from 1943, and it's always going to be that way. You know, and of course things are going to change. You know, I think you and I unanimously, which is huge, unanimously between the two of us, could agree that there was absolutely no value, no matter how much the announcers wanted to sell us on this man on second after the ninth inning. There's no value in it. Quit lying to yourself. If you know, you and I were paid to say that, well, I better get a big, huge bonus, because that's a complete factual lie. But other than that, you know, you and I try to stay hip to what everything was going, you know, how the league plays out and what guys do now. And I mean, the way everything's been played out, with the exception of the wild card David Ross, was that, you know, no pitcher was going to go that long. I mean, we've already seen that over the last 2-3 seasons, not just here in Chicago, but throughout the league, where there's no trust in pitchers starting pitching, you know, unless you're Zach Greinke or Clayton Kershaw. And nobody's going, you know, 7-8 innings. So I think, you know, we both kind of went into that theory, like, you know, yeah, we're going to have starters, but we're probably going to see more openers. We're not going to see starting pitchers go deep. You know, they'll be done definitely by the fifth inning. You know, they might get lucky and squeeze out a sixth. So I think taking that into account, which oddly wouldn't have been a problem if it was last year, I think we could have rolled around fine, because you would have been able to pick up pitchers, but it didn't work out that way this year. And oddly, for whatever reason, managers were letting pitchers go with it, which I thought was kind of weird. Well, not weird, but they went against what we were thinking, so it just annoyed me.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, and then of course the, you know, the obvious thing I have to ask you about baseball-wise is, We get a no hitter, Alex Mills. How you digging that?
It's cool. But let's not forget, Phillip Umber threw like a perfect game, was it?
Yes, he did.
And for everybody listening, go to Baseball Reference and you can look him up and follow his White Sox career that didn't last long after that. And I I think he ended up down in Texas and maybe up with your team in Seattle. And we never heard his name again. So, I mean, it's definitely cool. It's definitely a huge feat for Alex Mills. What does it really say? I don't know. I think as a Cub fan, the one aspect, and as a baseball fan, the thing I like the most is that David Ross is going to let his guys go. He's going to let his pitchers pitch, and I think he knows that side of the game. There's a whole lot of question here in Chicago with his managing style or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, you and I had talked about how is it premature to bring in a guy who's, you know, what, my age? Not that there's anything wrong with that, you know, 40. Forgot how old he is. He's around my age. But a guy who hasn't really coached, managed. You know, and I've got to wonder if he would have been in a better position having taken on, you know, the catcher's coach role or even some kind of the pitching coach. You know, and maybe he wouldn't have so much – I don't know, because they're getting on him now in Chicago. Well, they're not getting on him because, you know, you can't socialize with him personally. But, you know, they're definitely talking about him and not impressed with his performance as a manager. So, I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, my lack of Cubs coverage this year without the Marquee Network, I didn't get to watch nearly as pretty much anything, any Cubs game, except for the couple on Fox and ESPN. So it's hard to judge what his managing style was and how I thought it might have affected it. But, you know, another year with another new hitting coach and another guy back there trying to switch up, you know, Hayward and Contreras and Baez and all that. And then you've got to wonder if what Baez said was true with the fact that because of the cheaters, and he put this out there, because of the Astros, there isn't as much in-game video for them anymore. So, you know.
Yeah, well, they're not allowed to watch video at bats.
Oh, they're not allowed to watch it at all?
Not during the game. If I remember correctly, during the game, you can't go back in the clubhouse and watch video. You can do it, obviously, before and after, but you can't do it during the game because of the Astros and the Red Sox.
So, I mean, I saw him, you know, there was an article that was written with him talking about that, and that's how he would make a lot of his adjustments, was being able to go back and view it. And, you know, unfortunately, I think, you know, without that, you know, Lou Brock, I could sit here and list a bunch of names. They didn't have that capability, and they were still able to make those adjustments. So I don't think it's a great excuse. But with the way the game is played today, I think it is a valid excuse. And it just proves that, you know, technology is great. It's great, but they've got to figure out a way to work without it.
Okay, you ready for this? I looked this up for you because I knew you would get a kick out of this. Here's Philip Umber. All right, he played in parts of 8 major league seasons. 51 career starts. He appeared in 97 games. All right. He has one complete game shutout, which was the perfect game. He was 16-23 with a 5.31 ERA at the major league level. So after he left the White Sox, he spent 1 year with the Astros, 2013. He went 0-8 with a 7.90 ERA in 17 games, 7 of which were starts. So, yeah, but he has a perfect game.
Yeah. I mean, we're never going to take that away from him, you know. Can't. I think it's a great achievement, but
it's odd how these things kind of fall. And not saying Alec Mills will end up being this type of pitcher, or at least hopefully for the Cubs. But, it is a little strange, you know, because, like, Edwin Jackson has a no-hitter where I think he walked 7 guys and threw about 150 pitches.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, fortunately they stayed with him. I think he was a Cardinal at the time. So, my foot fell asleep, so I'm going to try to get up. If I fall down, you might have to do the rest of the podcast on your own.
You know, I mean, I think it's a great feat. You know, you can't take it away from the guy. It's great, but, you know, if you're relying on his performance, well, I'm sorry, but I don't think his you know, you're not able to put him in for that many games come postseason. So,
yeah,
know, it's so hard. I think it's so hard to talk about a team that's in first place that is your team you love to watch, which you can't watch because it's what they wanted to do this year. But when you take it on, you know, I'm supposed to have this rivalry between all my White Sox friends. And, you know, I really can't. I really can't because I feel it. And my dad and I were talking about this. I go, this would be the 1 year as a Cub fan where you absolutely 100% do not want to see the Cubs go against the White Sox in a World Series. And this is probably the one season where there's that potential. Because I don't think the Cubs would win. Well, I don't think they would win. And I would actually lean more towards the White Sox sweeping. Although I think with a Yu Darvish start, the Cubs would win it, that start, and it would probably be a 4-1 White Sox win. And that would just be the worst
thing
in the world for Cubs, man.
You don't think your guy Lucas Giolito would match Darvish in that start? You know.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming Giolito's not on that start day. That's, yeah.
So, well, if it's the World Series, you're going to set it up, right? I mean, you want Lucas as the number one guy, don't you? I mean, he's, you know, humorously for us, or White Sox fans, I should say, or baseball fans like you and I are, he's turning into exactly the number one starter the Nationals thought he was going to be when he was in their system. So that's got to be a bit of a kick in the teeth to them.
Well, and you know, one of the things we've talked about a million times is, you know, the Cubs made the devil with the deal, so to speak, to get Aroldis Chapman. And I don't mean Yankees per se, but you know, everything that was going on at that time, the domestic issues, which weren't an issue then, but you know, when Addison Russell all of a sudden is your guy, blah blah blah. You know, it all completely changed, but the Cubs made the deal. They got rid of a hotshot shortstop who could be in their system right now, and Javi could be playing second, or, you know, Clavar could be playing second or even third possibly. You know, the options are kind of, I don't want to say limitless, but they won the World Series, so there's nothing you can really say or do about it. The Nationals, on the other hand, traded away a guy who, like you said, is going to be a number one starter, and they did not win a World Series off that trade. So this is the one that's always going to, I think, kick them in the pants a little bit more than anything. Because I don't think,
so, yeah,
at the end of the day.
At least they did get one with Paul Eaton.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
that's,
you know, depending on how this plays out, this trade, you know, because, you know, Dane Dunning has looked pretty good. And your guy, Ronaldo Lopez, was decent. So that could be ugly. I'm going to go to the next one.